I'm Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin. I'd like to welcome you to Counsel for the State, a podcast produced by my office. Counsel for the State will shed light on my office, explain what we do, and discuss timely legal topics. Our aim is to increase transparency so constituents, journalists, and everyone with an interest in Idaho government can better understand how the Attorney General serves the state. With that, here is the Office of Attorney General Public Information Officer and Counsel for the State host, Scott Graff.
Hello and welcome to Counsel for the State. Thank you for downloading our podcast or listening online. Remember, Counsel for the State is available at the AG's website, that is ag.idaho.gov, as well as through podcast outlets like iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. This is our fourth episode of Counsel for the State. To date, we've discussed the role of the AG in Idaho's government. We've also talked about robocalls and scams, and most recently, CBD and hemp laws in our state. And today, we'll discuss another timely issue that's already been in the news somewhat of late, and that is the issue of fireworks.
Happy birthday, America.
Joining me to discuss this issue today is that voice, Brian Kane, the Assistant Chief Deputy here in the Office of the Attorney General. Brian, hello.
Hello.
And Paul Panther returns to the podcast today. Paul is the Chief of the Office's Criminal Law Division. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
And this might seem like an extremely specific issue for an Office of the Attorney General to be talking about, but it is one that has involved our office in the past. And because of that fact, we're in a fire-prone state, perhaps this issue gets a lot more attention in Idaho than it does in other states this time of year. So, Brian, I want to go back and talk about sort of this. We're having this conversation in the context of this is an issue that our office has been associated with over the last few summers. Can you take a moment to recap what happened in the summer of 2017 and why this is an issue that this office still happens to be involved with?
Sure thing. And I want to start out with the preface of this is an issue where, as we discuss it, our office has no enforcement authority over these issues. And I think that it's one of those things that is sometimes a little bit challenging because we do have a statutory requirement in Idaho Code Section 67-1401, paragraph 6, to provide an opinion to legislators when requested. And so if a legislator asks us, what is the status of fireworks law within the state of Idaho, we're obligated to respond to that legislator. And that's exactly what happened three years ago now, is we were asked the question, what fireworks are legal? We analyzed the statute, and we provided an answer, and that kind of generated the discussion. It's important to note, we did not declare any fireworks illegal. We did not declare any practices illegal. We simply recited what the law in Idaho is with regard to fireworks. And there are certain specific limitations on what you can and cannot purchase. And there's certain limitations on who can purchase what types of fireworks. If folks are not following those laws, we can't enforce those laws. It's up to local law enforcement. And, you know, they have their own priorities and discretion with regard to how they enforce the laws.
Paul, I want to ask you, you authored the opinion that created the escalation of the profile of fireworks here in the state of Idaho a couple summers ago. But before we get into that issue specifically of aerial fireworks, let's just for the regular everyday citizen listening to the podcast who wants to understand what they can have legally and what they may not legally have or shoot off in our state. What can a person, if you are, let's say, living in a city in Idaho and you go to the grocery store, or you even stop by one of the fireworks stands that get set up this time of year, what can you legally go purchase and then actually use in our state?
Well, you can legally purchase and use what our statutory scheme refers to as non-aerial common fireworks. And the statute defines those as fireworks that don't travel outside of a 15-foot diameter or emit sparks that go outside of a 20-foot diameter or go higher than 20 feet. So those are the kinds of fireworks you'd see at your normal fireworks stand in the parking lot of a grocery store that you would shoot outside front of your house on the 4th of July. There's another category of fireworks that's referred to as special fireworks, and these would be the fireworks that go higher than that, and the ones that you typically see at a baseball game or some kind of public display, and those require a permit to purchase. And the permit has a number of restrictions, including the requirement that the purchaser have a bond or a certificate of liability up to the amount of $1 million. So the way the statute is set up, non-aerial fireworks can be sold at retail, but fireworks that are not the non-aerial fireworks, the kind that are going to go up in the air, the aerial fireworks, have to be purchased by somebody who has a permit that's issued by the fire district or fire department in that jurisdiction.
So I'm thinking specifically of, to me, something that may be sort of in between, but maybe technically fits that second definition of a special firework, a bottle rocket. If I happen onto a stand in the grocery store parking lot and I see a package of bottle rockets, unless I have a bond of $1 million, I legally can't buy those, can't possess those, can't shoot those off?
Well, the statute says that somebody can't sell those to somebody that doesn't have a permit. It's a little bit less clear about whether you can actually possess them or not, but it's very clear that you can't use them without a permit.
And that's because they go over 20 feet in the air.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what if I agree to say, oh, I'm not purchasing these to use them in Idaho, I'm purchasing these to use elsewhere?
Well, there's sort of two sides to that. One is to be used in Idaho, it requires a permit. So whatever you sign, regardless of your motive, if you're going to use them in Idaho, you need to have a permit. There's an exception in the statutory scheme that would allow sale to sale of those kinds of fireworks for export from the state or for interstate commerce in fireworks. But if you're not an exporter, then you shouldn't be allowed to purchase those fireworks. And the fact that you say you're going to take them over to Oregon and shoot them off there doesn't make you an exporter. And states have laws about what can be imported and exported into their state, and that requires a certain license. And I'm guessing a lot of those folks who, you know, out of kind of perfectly innocent motives, maybe think they can buy those fireworks because someone hands them a piece of paper and says, sign this and we're good. That doesn't make you an exporter. And in fact, if you actually did take those into another state, you might be violating potentially federal laws involving the interstate movement of, you know, prohibited or highly regulated explosive devices.
So it sounds like if I'm a fireworks stand operator, I want to, number one, check to see if there's a permit for certain types of firework sales.
From the purchaser.
From the purchaser.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, you know, is somebody actually an exporter? And is it reasonable to think that someone that purchases, you know, one or two packages of bottle rockets can with a straight face say, oh, I'm an exporter?
Yeah, and when this issue first came up, I had the mental picture of some guy driving up in a minivan with a couple kids in the back with this license plates that of the same county where the fireworks stand is and signing that and then driving back to town. And, you know, that's like you said, it's just not reasonable to think that person is going to be an exporter.
Hey, just going to export them back to his neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is one of those things that I'm sitting here thinking about an analogy, and it's sort of like driving out on the highway where there might be a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit, and you meet a police officer who is running radar, and he or she clocks you at 70 miles an hour and just keeps driving. You don't get pulled over. This is sort of what has been happening for, it sounds like, decades in the state of Idaho when it comes to these aerial fireworks.
As far as I know, I think that's correct. Yeah, I think there's been in the valley here, I think there's been at least a couple of places that have been selling these things for a while, based on the news reports that I've seen and just driving down the freeway, frankly, and seeing them advertised by signage. And but that kind of goes back to a point that Brian made originally, which is that our office doesn't have jurisdiction to enforce these laws, and it's really within the discretion of those local law enforcement authorities as to how they're going to approach that. They don't have to agree with us, and they have their own enforcement of priorities as well. So the fact that we're trying to explain the law as we see it isn't necessarily a judgment that they're somehow violating the law or not doing their duty, but it's really their job and their discretion and not ours. So I think
they do have their own lawyers. They have their own attorneys that can say, this is the way that we see the law.
Yeah,
looking at the exact same code section in the same code book and say, no, we don't see it the same way.
And fireworks are also one of those areas of the law where, yeah, maybe you don't have a problem criminally, but if you purchase fireworks and it creates a fire, some sort of conflagration that winds up costing taxpayers and resources money and time to put it out, Idaho is a civil restitution state. And so you could wind up on the hook for the fire suppression efforts if you start a fire that's traced back to you using fireworks.
Which the foremost example in my mind, Paul, is the Table Rock fire. I believe it was in June of maybe, at this point, 4 years ago.
Yeah,
I think it was a young man setting on fireworks. Yeah. I think he later, if I have my facts correct, admitted to it, set the hillside on fire and ended up later in court and had quite a judgment against him to pay for those fire suppression efforts, right?
That's correct, and I don't know if that was a civil restitution or part of his criminal case, because I think he pled guilty to a misdemeanor, if I recall correctly. So, but in a criminal or a civil, it's kind of a civil realm. If you had a civil restitution or criminal restitution, you could end up on the hook for considerable amount of money.
Point being, you buy a firework that you're not supposed to have and you shoot it off in a place that starts a fire, you could have to pay a lot out of pocket down the line. How about this is another...
Well, think about it as a $5 or a $10 pack of fireworks then costing you $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about liability on the part of the seller? Paul flips his
code
book.
And that's where it is illegal under Idaho law for a seller to sell these fireworks to somebody who doesn't have a permit. So the statute provides it's a misdemeanor, I think, for any violation of that part of the code. And so, you know, arguably a seller could be convicted of a misdemeanor and I guess subject to criminal restitution. And maybe, I haven't really looked at the civil restitution issue, Brian.
It's
probably
a causation issue.
Yeah.
I mean, could you trace it back to the seller?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, that's going to be fact-specific, and it could actually involve whatever it is that's being signed at the time of sale as well. Although I'm not sure if that would even withstand judicial scrutiny.
So this...
Lots of unknowns there.
This, to me, was an eye-opening experience a couple of years ago, because we had the... It was the moment where it sort of was pounded into my head of this, you know, 44 counties and, in theory, 44 potential different enforcement strategies or priorities when it comes to, in this case, it was fireworks, but as we talked about last week, or last episode, CBD as well. I think we talked about it in the context of other laws in our very first podcast, but it's a recurring theme, and that is that the office does not direct the local prosecutors and the local police, and it leads to a bit of confusion. I don't know if either of which one of you want to take this one on, but if you are a constituent, a citizen, and you're preparing and you want to have, you know, sort of the typical American style 4th of July with fireworks, what should you do right now?
My advice would be to purchase only non-aerial fireworks. It makes it very simple. Those are the kind that you would buy at almost any fireworks stand in Idaho.
Those are legal in all 44 counties.
Completely legal. Unless there's some city ordinance maybe that regulates that I don't know about, or perhaps a county ordinance, but under state law, that's legal.
Now, what about if you're a constituent who for years, since you were a kid, were buying the bottle rockets and the Roman candles that go up more than 20 feet in the air, and you still want to do that, you want to celebrate the same way with your kids, Brian, what do you do?
My advice there is to be really aware, right? To understand that there are statutes that regulate that type of conduct, and understand that you're probably taking on a risk of some sort. And it could be the risk of whether or not somebody decides to criminally investigate or prosecute. It could be the risk of a fire, for example. I know that I was reading an article today that said if you're setting off fireworks, you want to make sure you keep a big bucket of water handy, you know, and so you may want to make sure you've got your bucket of water and a fairly decent hose very close by. But, you know, I mean, probably the best advice that you could offer folks is find a good fireworks show. You know, the Boise Hawks, the city. I mean, Boise in particular, and I know all throughout the state of Idaho, I mean, we've got some fantastic fireworks celebrations. The 4th of July celebration over in Idaho Falls, for example, actually draws folks in from all over. And I think that that's one of those that, that sometimes it's really great just to get together with your family, make sure you got your dog taken care of, and get together with your family and just celebrate the fantasticness that is our nation.
But there is, this is a situation a lot like what we talked about in our last podcast with CBD, that you might live in a county where local police and the local prosecutor's office say, look, we're not going to make this an enforcement priority. Yeah, technically it maybe is against the law, but we have what's called discretion, and we're going to use it in this case. Mm-hmm. Be safe, everybody. Use common sense. Have a good 4th of July, and we won't bug you.
And that's very possible. We see something similar to this in our authority that we have under Idaho Code 312002, which gives our office the authority to investigate county officials who are alleged to have been committing crimes in the course of their employment. And what we get a lot of times, particularly with the two categories of folks, and it's not surprising it's these categories because I think they have the most interaction with the public, is we get complaints against sheriff's offices and prosecutors, sheriff's deputies and deputy prosecutors, and a huge number of those complaints, a huge percentage of them, are not complaints that that person actually violated a law when you look at those complaints. It's complaints that they did something that that constituent didn't like in the absolutely legal exercise of their discretion. So we don't second guess those folks in the exercise of their discretion. That's their job to do and not ours.
Yeah, and I think that thematically, you know, the kind of constant that, that you hear from our office and even through this podcast and a few of our episodes is, if you don't like the law or you don't like the risk that's associated with the law and the fact that there are unknowns with regard to fireworks and your activity, the best call that you can make is to your legislator and say, hey, let's clear this up. Let's take away the uncertainty and make sure that we're dealing with something that we can understand whether our conduct is or is not legal and will or will not be prosecuted. And I think that, you know, part of our system is that we want a legal regime that provides us with certainty.
And this is a bit of a gray area.
Well, I don't know. I think that
as currently executed
and as currently drafted, I think you're absolutely right. There is a gray area here, and sometimes some of our biggest problems as a society are the result of these gray areas remaining unresolved.
And you've also got sort of tradition, I think, on on one side of the issue here. Yeah. We've been able to do this for a long time, and then all of a sudden, Paul Panther in the AG's criminal law division issues an opinion and that's branded as a banning of fireworks, and people say, hey, wait a minute, I've been doing this for years and haven't had any problems. Why should I have to stop this now?
Yeah, we're not the Grinch that stole the 4th of July. Yeah. You know, we're just, this is the law that's been on the books, and you know, as we noted at the beginning of the podcast, this isn't a new law. Like, this isn't a law that when we reviewed it had just been changed or something. This is a law that's been in existence for a while.
Brian, you and our office are the legislative liaison. I'm probably putting you on the spot a little bit, but in the wake of the Table Rock fire here in Boise and perhaps this opinion coming out in I think, 2017, there have been some attempts, right, or at least one attempt in the legislature to make some changes to fireworks law.
I think so.
Do you remember the specifics on that?
And I know that it's been discussed. I don't know how many pieces of legislation have seen the light of day. But I think that, you know, this is, Idaho is very attuned to individual rights, and fireworks really strikes kind of at the heart of some of our individual rights. And so it's not necessarily an easy area in which to legislate. And I think that that's one of the difficulties with this series of statutes is, yes, we want clarity, but understanding the implications of these individual rights and how paramount we hold them in Idaho sometimes makes it a tough area of the law to address legislatively.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something, Paul?
No. Okay. I totally agree with what Brian's saying now. Yeah.
In our last podcast on the hemp and the CBD issues, we talked about, you know, potentially reaching out to the local prosecutor's office and local police in your jurisdiction just to sort of understand what their enforcement strategy or priority is when it comes to those laws. Would it make sense to for folks to reach out to those same entities if they have questions about fireworks this summer?
Yeah, I think that would make complete sense, and we've advised people to do that on a number of issues. So that's, and again, they have the authority in that county to exercise their discretion in terms of how they're going to approach those issues. And so you'd want to make sure that you didn't end up on the wrong side of things, even though you thought you were engaging in completely innocent conduct.
That will wrap up this Council for the State episode. Joining me, Paul Panther, the chief of our criminal law division here in the Office of the Attorney General, and Brian Kane, another deputy AG here in the office as well. Thank you for joining us for this episode. And remember, we have three others, which you can find at our website, ag.idaho.gov. Episodes are also available through popular podcast outlets like iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. See you next time.